This is the ULM Forum on KEDM Public Radio. I'm Jay Curtis. The Association of Southeastern Biologists recently recognized University of Louisiana at Monroe Professor of Biology, Dr. Kim Marie Tolson, with a Meritorious Teaching Award. Dr. Tolson joins me now to talk about the award and her work in the field. Welcome to the ULM Forum.
Thank you. It's great to be here today.
First of all, what does this Meritorious Teaching Award mean to you as a teacher of biology?
What does it mean? Well, it means that a group of really outstanding professionals got together and decided that I should join their ranks. The Meritorious Teaching Award is the most prestigious award that the Association of Southeastern Biologists awards. This year, we had our annual meeting in West Virginia, and the culmination of the whole meeting, the ending of the awards banquet, is the awarding of this particular Meritorious Teaching Award. It's supposedly done all anonymously and without anybody knowing, and I'll have to say they did a great job keeping it from me. I had no idea, absolutely no idea whatsoever.
Well, let's talk about your background at ULM. What led you to the study and now the teaching of biology?
Well, I guess I was, I'm the perfect textbook case where the high school counselors say, think about something you really, really enjoy and then try to find a career that meshes with that. And so I knew, all through high school, I knew I would be in biology. And so I was one of those rare college students that went to college and never changed my major. I never changed my major. Once I got in biology and field biology, I stuck with it and stayed with it till the end.
You also joke that so much of your classroom doesn't happen inside a building.
No, you can't. You can't teach all biology classes inside. There's so much biology that's outside. And what happens is the students get to see that everything doesn't always go according to the textbook. That once you get out in the field, that lecture you had from the textbook may not apply. And you have to make some adjustments. And it's real life experience for the students. If we go out in the field and we're supposed to be looking at a moist soil unit and controlling some water levels, then sure as the world we show up and some beaver has built a dam over my water control structure and we have to go from managing water levels to managing beaver populations. It's just a change. Even though the textbook said we were going to do one thing that day, we had to do something else.
Now, you grew up spending a lot of time in various parts of the Gulf South.
That's true. My father was in pipeline construction, and for those of you who are not familiar with pipeline construction, I can relate it to the military. You travel wherever there's a job. We were nomads. There were four of us, four children, and we were born all across South Louisiana, South Mississippi, and then traveled all across the Gulf South wherever there was a pipeline job for my father. So when people ask me where my home is, it's Louisiana, all over Louisiana.
You do a lot of work and research work in game management, and I know that it's got to be something that you get asked frequently about at parties or in public, looking at especially game management of deer.
Deer, a lot of game animals, I'm involved with deer. I know a lot of the hunting public sees me and my students working managed hunt deer check stations at local wildlife management areas. I think it's real important to have my students interface and interact with the public, and it's a prime opportunity to get them out of the classroom again, out there in the field, taking data on the deer that are harvested, talking to the hunters, answering the hunters' questions, and learning that being a biologist isn't just dealing with things that can't talk back to you, basically. We enjoy talking to the public, yeah. We see these kinds of things as public service.
And a lot of your research actually is something that affects people who harvest game in the field, is that your research looking at seasons specifically.
Yeah, well, what we do is we look a lot of times at breeding dates. We'll go in and we'll be working in a particular area of the state, looking at harvested deer and collecting the reproductive tracts and determining when peak breeding is occurring in that particular part of the state. And it also gives us an idea about the number of deer that are in a particular area. And then state agencies use that information to set hunting season dates. They use it when they're looking at how many deer should we be harvesting in the state of Louisiana.
Now, when I think of the many people that I know who hunt deer, I don't know very many of them who would ever think about it as biology. How do you bridge that gap?
It's not difficult at all. The minute they walk up to me at the check station and saying, why are you here? And I said, well, I'm teaching my students about the biology of white-tailed deer. And they'll say, well, where do you start? I said, well, first of all, we'll start with just aging the deer that you brought in and knowing the age structure of the harvested deer and the ratio of bucks to does, males to females. And we get the sex structure. You know, are we balanced? Do we have too many does or too many bucks in a population? And there is a science behind managing deer. And it's actually easy to convert people and say, oh, I never realized that.
This is something that's a study rather than just a practice.
Definitely a study. I mean, it involves, you know, data acquisition, data analysis, data reporting, follow through with all of the data.
Now, you've also recently been doing some work on feral pigs.
Tell us about that. I know. That's going to be our newest plague on the face of the earth is feral pigs. They are taking over. We're now joking that there are actually two types of landowners in Louisiana, those that have feral pigs on their property and those that are going to have feral pigs on their property. And what a lot of people don't realize, while they're an excellent sporting animal, and I love to hunt pigs just as much as anybody, their reproductive capacity is phenomenal. And they are a non-native species, and they do tremendous damage to the habitat. And they compete with our native game species like the deer and the wild turkey and the squirrel. And they compete with non-game animals as well for food resources, space, everything. They're not good.
What are some of the hopes of being able to control that population?
Well, we're working with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries on several projects right now. We're looking to find ways of increasing hunters' interest in actually collecting or harvesting feral pigs, because I know a lot of deer hunters say, well, I'm not going to shoot that pig right now because I may scare off a deer. We need to do some education and convince them to go ahead and shoot that pig, and then the deer will be there. You've got to remove the feral pigs for the deer to be there. We're also looking in certain areas of the state now at feral hogs are beginning to damage and destroy alligator nests. And so we're seeing that it's going to start to impact part of the economy in the state for those people that rely on alligators and alligator harvest. And so we're really looking in the marsh areas right now doing some helicopter surveys with the State Wildlife and Fisheries.
So I know a number of years ago the state ended up offering a bounty for nutria pelts.
Yes.
Any possibility for something like that with feral hogs?
Yeah. Well, I'd love to see it. Yeah. You know, and it's because one of the main reasons is the bounty on the feral one of the main reasons is the bounty on the nutria has been so successful in curtailing nutria damage. I mean, we have the data to show that since they've instituted the coastwide nutria control program, that the number of acres in the marsh that have been damaged by nutria has significantly decreased. But what we're starting to see now is area that recovered from nutria damage is now subjected to feral hog damage.
What's the one thing that you want your students to take away from after leaving one of your classes or several of your classes even?
To be a good steward, to be a good steward of our natural resources. In addition to being a good steward, I would like for them to be able to converse with the general public and explain to the general public how important our natural resources are.
Kim Marie Tolson, it's been fascinating talking with you.
Well, thank you. It's been great being here today.
Dr. Kim Marie Tolson holds the Lillian and Fred A. Marks Endowed Professorship in Biology. She was recently awarded the Association of Southern Biologists Meritorious Teaching Award.